Thy Spirit till all shall sing Christ only, always living in me.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. Thank you, Dave. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. I don't know about you, but before the internet, I felt dumb a lot. Because I couldn't listen to what somebody said and then quickly Google it to find out if they knew what they were talking about. God's Word gives us understanding even in times when we don't fully understand what's being talked about. I'm going to give an example. Okay, in the political environment in which we're in, it's hard to know who to listen to because there's so much nonsense being spread around. But you take God's Word and you mix it in with what's being said, and it gets rid of a whole lot of this confusion. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. As we go through life, filter through the noise and find out what's really there. Using God's Word as a guide, and you'll be shocked at how much more simple life becomes. But you can only do that if you're familiar with God's Word. Will you try to read your Bible every day this week? It's not that hard. Just give it a try. Happy Labor Day. Tomorrow is one of the very few holidays that this country does semi-correctly. We do Thanksgiving very, very wrong. We do Christmas, depending on how you believe about Christmas, we do it wrong. But when it comes to Labor Day, we have, on a general sense, figured out that this is a time for the people that labor, that work hard, to just take a break. All right. But even this is something we have to remember comes from God's perspective. In Deuteronomy 8:18, thou shalt not, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, or giveth you the ability to labor. I want to encourage you tomorrow as you are enjoying the day off. Does anyone have to work tomorrow? Shame on you. It's Labor Day. These hospital workers, they can't figure out that they're not supposed to work all the time. But thank you for working tomorrow. We appreciate it. But for those of us that tomorrow are going to be enjoying a day off as an acknowledgement of our labor, remember it's God who gives us the ability to do that labor. So don't forget Him tomorrow. The Right Thing and the Wrong Way continues to be the title of the message. This is sermon number 4 in the series. We're going to go one more after this. David is dancing as the ark is being moved to Jerusalem. I had Jason finish on that verse just to remind us exactly what's going on here. David is dancing. 1 Chronicles 15, we pick it up. Verse 28. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. This was not social distancing.
No.
Not even close. All right. At this point, they're thinking about one thing. They're thinking about the Lord. They're thinking about advancing the ark to the place that it needs to be in. But they are in full-blown excitement. The first time, though, as Jason read earlier, it was just simply, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord, and all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, on psalteries, on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. Almost the same thing, but done differently. The focus of this is doing the right thing in the right way. This morning at Sunday school, Wade and I had a very direct conversation, but I think we did it in the right way.
Yes.
And I think I straightened him out. I'm not sure, but I think I straightened him out. Okay. There's three things you never talk about. Never talk about sports, never talk about politics, never talk about religion. Okay. The problem is if you never talk about those three things, you never grow. Okay. We can talk about these things if we do it in the right way. And verses were being thrown around in a loving, what about this, what about that? I think that it was a very, very good class. We need to do the right thing in the right way. However, there are some places, a lot of times it's in a Sunday school class. I've heard horror stories about adult Sunday school classes just getting out of hand because one person can't stand for another person to disagree with them. Okay? Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what we say in this room, the truth is the truth, regardless of what we say about it.
Right.
Okay? And when it comes to the judgment, which we were talking about in Sunday school, it don't matter what I say, it don't matter what Wade says, God's going to do what God's going to do.
Right.
Okay? And so we don't have to get angry and upset, particularly like politicians. It just doesn't need to be. We can do the right thing in the right way. This time, it's way better. Why is it so much better this time with their celebration? They're doing the right thing in the right way. 2 Samuel 6 is our parallel passage, verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. You notice that the two verses are very similar. They talk about the exact same event. I want to encourage you, don't depend on the screen. Use your Bible in these parallel passages. Pick one and stick to it, but make sure that what's on the screen is right. Don't trust me. Don't trust any preacher. Verse 29 and 1 Chronicles 15. And it came to pass as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David. It is now arrived in Jerusalem. That Michal, the daughter of Saul, the wife of David, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing. And she despised him in her heart. Now don't forget, she grew up in a king's palace. She knows how a king is supposed to act. Also don't forget, she likely doesn't even want to be with David. She was taken from her second husband, Bathiel, so David would accept Abner's peace deal. Michal doesn't even want to be there. She knows how a husband is supposed to act, or so she thinks. Now we're going to hear a whole lot more from Michal next week. 2 Samuel 6:16, as the Ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Again, Chronicles is our primary passage. It has the most detail. Verse 1, so they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. Now, it's important for us to remember this is not the tabernacle. Okay, this is a tent, and it's nowhere near what the tabernacle was. I believe that the tabernacle and all the furnishings, including the altar burnt offering, has all been destroyed. I believe they're doing the best they can with what they have. 2 Samuel 6:17, they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. Not the big tabernacle. This is the house. The word tabernacle means house. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. 2 Samuel 6:18, as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Verse 16:3 of 1 Chronicles, he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. My question for you is this, guys. What's a flagon of wine? And would you like to have one?
Wineskin, basically.
It's not a jug. It's not a wineskin.
No?
No, sir. No. This just seemed odd to me. He gives them a jug of wine. It just, granted, it's not wrong to drink. It's wrong to get drunk. But a jug of wine, you're likely to get drunk, particularly in this atmosphere. What is it that he gave them? Check it out. It's a raisin cake. It's a raisin cake. I dare you to check that out. 2 Samuel 6, 19, the first part of the verse, he dealt among all people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. Drop down to verse 7 in 1 Chronicles 16. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph his brethren. This verse is extremely important. This is where the psalm headers begin. Okay? Above the psalms, the fine print that we usually just ignore are actually part of the text. Now, if you've got a study Bible, you've got that all through your Bible. I'm talking about the stuff to the chief musician, that sort of thing. This is where they begin. David gave his new song leader a list of songs to lead. He realizes that part of the right way is making God part of it. It's more than just moving a piece of furniture. Now, let's bring this down home. This pulpit is Dad's pulpit. For a while, it was mine. Because Dad abandoned it. Dad retired and left it sitting where it was. At Park Ridge, I became pastor. I didn't like it. I liked preaching on the floor. But I thought, Dad might like to have this pulpit. So I said, would you like to have it? Oh man, I'd love to have it. Love to have it. And so I want you to imagine the same thing going on with the ark. We've got a piece of furniture that's not where it needs to be. And so we're going to get it where it needs to be. Now, Dad comes and gets it, puts this in his truck, and for whatever reason, it's raining and the thing leaks and it's starting to get messed up. And Dad says, this ain't going to work. We got to quit this. Okay? And so he actually grits a storage unit, put the pulpit in the storage unit, sets it off to the side. He rents a U-Haul. Nice U-Haul. Goes and picks it up, puts it in the back of the U-Haul, and then delivers it on to Temple Baptist Church and brings it on in. Okay? It's almost the exact same scenario, except one thing. This pulpit right now is doing nothing for the Lord. Nothing. It's just his furniture. Okay? The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence, and it needed to be handled properly. Okay? If we bring the pulpit in and set it on the stage and never ever use it, what's the point of having it? Adding the psalm to the storyline makes God a very important part of it. So many times in church, God's not a part of it. We're just going through the motions. Lori said earlier, she was a Catholic for so long, she could go back to a Catholic church today and do it step by step by step by step, because it's just going through the motions. It's got to be more than just going through the motions.
Amen.
1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. I'm not going to ask you to answer, so don't. Especially if you're a lady. Don't do that. We've been in church now for some a half an hour, for some an hour and a half, for some even 2 hours if you got here early. Have we talked about the Lord at all? It's got to include God if it's going to be the right thing in the right way.
Yep.
It's got to include God. So many churches never, ever open the Bible.
That's right.
It's like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Really, what's the point? But it goes for the attendees also. If we're going to go to church but never talk about the Lord, what's the point? It's just a club. It doesn't make any sense for us to come here if we're not going to talk about the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It's more than just fellowshipping. Fellowshipping is important. Building each other up is important. That's a way that we can serve God and each other. But so many times, God's the last thing in our mind. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. When is the last time you said, God did such and such. It had to be him. It couldn't be anybody else. It had to be him. When's the last time you said that? 2 Samuel 6 drops out here, but Psalm 105 picks it up. Again, this event weaves its way through 8 chapters in 3 different books. It gives us a hint as to how important doing the right thing in the right way actually is. Psalm 105 picks it up. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Again, the psalm that David delivered in 1 Chronicles 16:15 is in fact Psalm 105. 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalm 105:2, the exact same thing. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 105:3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. It matters how we sing. Are we singing just to get it done? Are we singing it because we're going to be called out if we don't sing? Are we actually thinking about the words and expressing to God our gratitude? 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. 16:12, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments. Always replace judgment, the King James, of what?
Justice.
Remember His justice of His mouth. Psalm 105:5, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments or justice of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. 105:6, O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, O ye children of Jacob, His chosen. This is important, by the way. 1 Chronicles is the official records of the nation of Israel. That's what makes it different from Samuel. Samuel is a historical account. Chronicles is the official records. Including Psalm 5 in the official records is like including Amazing Grace in the official record of the United States Congress. Can you imagine them doing that today? Today we avoid God at all costs. David is including this psalm in the official records of the nation. He's doing the right thing in the right way. Now go back to the first time when they moved the ark. Hey, they drug it on a cart. They had a good time, so we're getting our furniture. This time they're doing the right thing in the right way, making God part of it. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. His justice is in all the earth. Now that's important as well, because as we look at the world today particularly, it looks like justice is nowhere to be found. Don't forget, every single sin will be paid for. Every single one. Every single one. Even the ones that's done by politicians. Even the ones that it seems like they got totally away with it. I was thinking yesterday, I don't know why I thought about this, and you're going to laugh, but it's true. Hugh Hefner. Y'all know that name, Hugh Hefner?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hugh Hefner partied his whole life, but he's not partying now.
No way.
He's not partying now.
No.
Okay. Justice comes around to everyone. Adolf Hitler.
Oh, boy.
Okay? He's not partying now.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
All right? We could go right on down the line of so many people that seem to... It's just historical figures. It's like, what are they doing right now? Because they're all alive right now. Every single one of them is alive right now. Abraham Lincoln's alive right now. Okay? Justice. God's justice exists. Psalm 105. He is the Lord our God. His justice is in all the earth. Be mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. 105:8. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Now here we got a little bit of a discrepancy. 16:15 starts, be ye mindful. 105:8 starts, He hath remembered. Is that a contradiction? So the one way to find out, you got to go to Hebrew. And I did. You know how both those verses start? They simply start remember. They both start remember. They are absolute accurate. 16:16, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac. 105:9, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. 16:17, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. 105:10, and confirmed the same of Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Again, don't forget, he's including this psalm in the official records of the nation, and he's getting it word for word. That's how important it is to do the right thing in the right way. Saying unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Saying unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When ye were but few, even a few and strangers in it, going all the way back into Genesis, when it's just Abraham, Isaac, and just the family. 105:12, when they were a few in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. If these are going to be so close, why bother with a second one? If Psalm 105 is an identical repetition of 1 Chronicles 16:19. Why bother saying it? They're both God's Word. And that's what we do in church. 20, where they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. 105:13, where they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. 1 Chronicles 16:21. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. 16:22, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. 1 Chronicles 16 drops the next part. 1 Chronicles 16 drops the next part. Does that mean that Psalm is inaccurate? No, it means that David says, I've given you enough to search out the rest on your own. So we're going to just park in Psalm 105:16 now. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. This is just before Joseph. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. And we talked about all this step by step, including this passage, as we went through it. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt. That's Jacob. And Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Don't forget, Jacob and Israel is the same person. The nation is the same, referring to the same founder. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal severely with his servants. We talked about this before, but who turned the Egyptians' hearts in that verse? God did. God did. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, who he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. We're not going through the plagues. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers of various sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. You remember that one? You remember fire in the land? He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and brake the trees of their coast. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and eat up all the herbs of their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote all the firstborn of their land. This is the last plague, and the chief of all their strength. By the way, this is where we're at in Akawaha. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock The waters gushed out. They ran to the dry places like a river, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. He gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. And we've already covered all of this. Why is David bringing it back up? Why is David bringing it back up? By the way, as you go through particularly the Old Testament, it gets brought up over and over and over and over and over again. If they had gone over this before trying to move the ark the first time, Uzzah might have been there to see it.
Yep.
If they had gone over this before the first attempt to move the ark, Uzzah, the guy that God killed, that Jason read about earlier, he might have been there to see it. Don't forget, Uzzah's still dead. Why is Uzzah dead? The right thing and the wrong way. That's how important all of this is. That's why it's so important we read our Bible every single day. We have to be familiar with it so that when the time comes to move a piece of furniture, we don't do it wrong. The right thing in the wrong way is wrong because we don't care enough to do it the right way. Remembering what God has done shows us the right way. This is the reason we go to church so much. This is the reason why we constantly hound, read your Bible, pray, witness, give your time. All these little things keeps us sharp. It's just like a knife in your kitchen. Okay? You buy it, that thing is sharp. Oh, it's wonderful. We bought it off the TV, it was so sharp. That thing could cut a lemon so thin you could see right through it. But you know what? We used it about 500 times. And now it's not so sharp anymore. Okay? How many of y'all got a knife that used to be sharp? Okay? Okay? It works the exact same way spiritually, and David's the perfect illustration of it. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. The right thing and the right way. Next time we're going to see how important this was to Jesus. The next psalm was written at this point. Now, going through the Psalms, we have talked a whole bunch about how maybe it was here, it could be this one here, we know for a fact. It's one of the very few that we know for a fact it was written here. Psalm 96 comes next. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. When we sing, are we singing to the Lord? Or are we just getting through the same old song again? I believe that this is an instruction for David, just like to the chief musician. We're not done doing it the right way, I think is what David's saying here. You say, David, you're kind of taking this kind of far, aren't you? He said, I wish I had done all this before.
Yep.
I wish I had done all this before. And here is the new song. Picked up where 1 Chronicles 16, where we left off in 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16 is that same psalm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Psalm 96:2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. We're going to bring the pace way down now. Are we doing this? Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth his salvation from day to day. How did I do that yesterday? How did I do that on Friday? How did I show his salvation on Thursday? How did I show his salvation on Wednesday? Paul went to church on Wednesday. Wednesday's check. How about Tuesday? Monday? Sunday, that was easy. I went to church. But what did I do when I was at church? Are we doing the right thing in the right way? Or are we doing the right thing to get it done? Are we just moving furniture? Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. Now, if you're on Facebook, this was easy. Unless you have no followers, and then you're wasting your time. Is that what they call followers?
Friends.
Friends. Right? Psalm 96, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. When do you get out among other people? Right now with COVID, we've been told you only go to Walmart. What do you say when you're at Walmart? I don't say nothing to nobody. I don't want to catch what they got. Are we doing the right thing at all? For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, even above the God of science. A very prominent woman in our country said something about a very prominent man in our country. And she said that what he had done was an insult to science, as though science is some kind of God. Are we doing the right thing in the right way? Or are we just moving furniture? We have one more sermon of this. It's 9 minutes till, but I think it's a good place to stop. Father, thank You that this sermon just seems to not end. Thank You that David clearly shows regret for doing the right thing in the wrong way. And right now he is doing everything he can to do the right thing in the right way. Father, forgive us for just wanting to get done. Thank You, Jesus, that You were so insistent on doing the right thing in the right way that You actually went to the cross. You didn't commit suicide in a quick way. You died very slowly, very painfully, to accomplish the right thing in the right way. Holy Spirit, motivate us. Show us where we need to change. Not necessarily what we're doing, but how we're doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.